Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Pureval has announced his re-election campaign, but there's a lot more on his agenda this year than running for a second term. There's a budget to negotiate, development projects on the horizon, and that question of a new arena. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Mayor Pureval joins me now to talk about his priorities and the questions facing Cincinnati under the new Trump administration. Welcome back, Mayor.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks.
Excited to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I want to start with immigration because immigration advocates showed up at city council this week asking for help.
Yeah.
What is Cincinnati's official position when it comes to ICE raids locally?
Yeah, our official position is exactly what the law says, which is that there's really no role for local law enforcement to enforce federal immigration laws. The chief and I have tried to be as clear as possible because we understand just how much fear and anxiety there is out there in the community. Look, as the son of immigrants, as the son of specifically a refugee, you can't imagine how challenging this issue is for me, both personally and also professionally. I know that I'm not alone. There's a lot of vulnerable communities that are terrified, and there's real public policy consequences for that here at the local level. CPS has already reported out that they're seeing an increase in truancy. Something that we've also heard anecdotally from the community. CPD has been working very, very hard to develop strong, trusted relationships with our Hispanic community. Unfortunately, because of fear of deportation, oftentimes those vulnerable immigrant communities don't come forward when they're victims or when they witness violent crime. And so without that connection to our local law enforcement, public safety is at risk. You know, my role in all of this is to provide concrete and clear communication to our community to better inform them about what their rights are. We are working very hard with CPD, with the sheriff's office, with CPS, and our nonprofit leaders like Legal Aid, Immigrant Refugee Law Center, and Catholic Charities. In fact, just later today, we have a sit down with all of those organizations to share our plans and get on the same page and offer support where necessary. But fundamentally, we have no role in enforcing federal immigration law. Now, this is where it gets somewhat nuanced. If there is a federal district court that hands down a warrant for a violent criminal, irrespective of their immigration status, of course we're going to follow a court order. Of course public safety is our top priority, and we've got to maintain order. If someone being targeted by ICE is alleged or has a history of violence, then of course that's something that we're going to take very seriously. Or alternatively, if there is a raid going on and it's creating a public safety problem, then of course police are going to respond. Again, my top priority is being very clear with our community about what our role is, cutting through some of the rumors as much as we can, and giving them and the organizations that are providing support to these vulnerable communities as much support as we can as city leaders. But, you know, I think my frustration right now, 2 or 3 weeks into this new administration, is less about maybe politics with a capital P, and more about just the chaos and disorder that's happening. Obviously, immigration is a hot topic, but so isn't this federal freeze on grants, and specifically infrastructure grants that could be incredibly disruptive to a lot of different projects, whether it's caps on Fort Washington Way, the Raise grant for the West End, the pedestrian bridge over Gilbert Avenue, the Western Hills Viaduct. You know, the future of those projects is really unclear, and we're not alone. There's so many other cities that are just confused as to what's happening. Because we're so far downstream, it takes a while for that impact to really materialize. We're estimating between, I think, $30 to $50 million a year from federal grants just to the city. And so that would be devastating, truly. And then finally, all the rhetoric around DE&I.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, that as opposed to potentially immigration, equity and inclusion is what we do at city government. If you have a community with significant wealth inequality, as we do, as so many cities do in our country, if the government is not the one, at least at the table, if not leading, to fix that issue, then who is? And so without those inclusionary studies, without those inclusionary goals on contracts and subcontracts, without making sure that our police force and our fire department reflects the diversity of the community that we're serving, those inequalities, both racially and wealth, will only get worse. And that is bad, not just for Cincinnati, but the entire country. So it's a challenging position to be in, for sure, on a number of fronts. My goal in all of this chaos is to have a professional and consistent local government that is providing public safety and basic services and continuing to achieve our priorities, which are strongly supported by our local constituents. I am mayor for the city of Cincinnati. I've got to be responsible and responsive to my local community while also managing relationships that are critically important at the federal government and state government. And so far, you know, certainly it's been challenging, but I'm optimistic that we'll be able to steer the ship during these stormy seas.
I'm talking with Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Purival about what 2025 holds for the city. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. You mentioned truancy, and I know we've talked about on this program how some Cincinnati public schools teachers have reported to the Board of Education that some kids are afraid to go to class.
Yeah.
So certainly it's having, this whole discussion is having ramifications. I want to move on to another hot topic locally, and that's this proposed new arena.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Cincinnati needs a new arena? And the way you're smiling, I think the answer is yes.
Well, I'm just a happy guy.
Yeah.
So I'm just smiling.
But if so, how do we pay for it? Where does the money come from for this thing?
Great question. So when the tourism board, I'm sorry, the Cincinnati, I'm trying to talk in ways that people know what I'm talking about. So CVB, or the Visit Cincy Tourism Board, when they first approached both the county and I about this idea, those were my questions. Do we need one? Can we afford one? And where does it go? And in that priority order, the county and the city have really turned the page on some of the conflicts of the past. I have a strong relationship with all three county commissioners. And that is different from the past. Because of that strong connection and relationship, we've been able to move very quickly on the convention center and the headquarter hotel, $600 million going right into the downtown area. And now this new arena is going to require that same kind of commitment. And I'm really excited that both the county and the city worked with the chamber and other interested parties to fund a study to answer that first question, do we need an arena? And the study came back with a resounding yes. Our competitors, our peer cities like Louisville, Columbus, Indianapolis, they're eating our lunch. Cleveland, they have arenas that are attracting world-class talent and events. And given the impact of remote work in our urban core, we've got to get a piece of that pie. And you know, not only do we not have the facilities to win that kind of business, but we also don't have a sports commission. We're one of the few cities in the area trying to compete at that level who don't have that. So there's a lot of assets missing, principally an arena. And so yes, we do need one. The second question, though, is how do we pay for it? The report came out with, I would say, a menu of options on the public side about the various streams of revenue that we could use. It included a super TIF that Cleveland is using for development up north. It included a sin tax, which, you know, again, Cleveland uses to fund some of their other priorities. Or, potentially, voluntary fees. We're working right now with the county to figure out what the capital stack could look like, what the public's portion of an arena could be. But a critical part of this is, what is the private sector bringing to the table? I think the politics around stadiums and arenas has changed dramatically since we had our own stadiums built a couple of decades ago. And so with that new reality, I think the public is going to expect, and I expect, a sizable contribution from the business community or private interests. And so making sure we have a good deal, making sure we can afford it, is the next step. I know a lot of people care very deeply about where it goes. You know, obviously I care about where it goes, but what I care most about right now is how we pay for it. And how much money we have, Lucy, will have an impact on where we can put it, because different sites that the report identified are in different levels of control by public entities, either the city or the county. And so to the extent it's privately held, we would have to pay in order to get access to it.
Sure. We do have a caller on the line.
Great.
Hey, Tom, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Well, after listening to the previous program on executive orders, I got quite disheartened, and it's just want to offer my support and encouragement to our mayor, who is coming out with a great message of culture and inclusion, and just want to call in with my support for your tone and the great city that we have here in Cincinnati. It's kind of like a nice little local community of people that support each other. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, thanks, Tom.
Wow. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
You weren't expecting that for your first call,
huh,
Mayor?
I was not expecting that. Yeah, you should come into public comment in a couple hours. It'll be a little different.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate that call. That was very nice. We also have Chris, a volunteer Catholic from Catholic Charities, email, just want to say thank you for your city leadership and attentiveness to the concerns of the undocumented. So another nice comment for the mayor.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You mentioned that the location of the arena is the last thing on your list, but you know I'm going to ask you about
it. Please do.
I've heard you talk about the pros and cons of the site where we're sitting now, where CET is located.
We are sitting in one of the sites,
yes.
Yeah.
Another site is this land that would be freed up by the site that would essentially be created by the Brent Spence Bridge Project. That's several years down the road because we all know that bridge corridor project isn't going to happen overnight. But there are a lot of people who would like to see the arena built where it is right now on the riverfront. The owners were on this program talking about that, business owners at the banks. What do you think about that? What's wrong with the riverfront?
Well, I think there's a few challenges with the riverfront. I would not say anything's wrong with it. And just to orient the listeners about the reclaimed land from the Brent Spence Bridge design project, really excited that we were able to reduce the footprint of the Brent Spence Bridge to free up 11 acres directly west of the convention center. So that is a really exciting opportunity, not just for a potential arena, but just for development. You imagine it, you could have a fountain district or a convention center district that starts west of the convention center with restaurants and businesses all the way to Fountain Square. That really is the dream. And with the Foundry on Fountain Square, with Saks Fifth Avenue building that's getting Salazar and Paycor in it, I really want listeners to know that is unusual on the national scale. Very, very few cities our size are actually growing in our urban core and seeing that kind of investment. Most of them are really suffering from vibrancy, and so we're really proud of that. But on the question of the banks, look, I share some of the frustration from the community and some leaders that the banks project has not moved forward as fast as some of our other development priorities. And so what I want to do first is make sure that the county and the city are laser focused on catalyzing the development of the banks. And when the banks was first started, you know, the priorities are much different than they are today. We don't need another large office building at the banks. We probably need more housing. We probably need more retail space. And so, you know, both Commissioner Driehaus and I started an RFP for Lot 24, and we really want to see growth there. So I mention that because even if the arena doesn't necessarily go on the banks where it is now, there is a real commitment from political leaders to finish the banks. The challenges with the current site is it's not a big enough footprint in order to accommodate the amount of seats that we're looking for. You know, you have to think about the ecosystem of our venues. We've got, you know, Riverbend with a large investment going there. We have the Brady, which is a new development. FC Cincinnati just received a massive award from the state, a grant called TMUD, and that's going to unlock their development, which could also include some kind of venue. And so what we really need is a footprint large enough to fill the hole that exists in our ecosystem. And right now that site, unfortunately, doesn't work for that size of an arena. And the alternative is pristine landscape and real estate right on the riverfront. We've been working for several years on creating a marina just south of Great American Ballpark. And so to the extent we can pair a potential marina with a new maybe residential or office development where the current arena is, you know, that would really catalyze the banks as well. So, you know, what I would say is no decision has been made on the location. Every location, including down at the banks, has their pros and cons. But what is not lost on leaders is we've got to finish the banks, and that is a critical aspect of our economic development strategy.
Okay, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll hear about affordable housing being built in the region and how much more we need. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation with Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Pureval about what's ahead for the city this year. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Mayor, I mentioned at the top of this discussion that you've announced you're running for re-election.
I announced like 2 years ago. Yeah, I'm running.
Breaking news.
That's
two
right.
years ago you announced. The Inquirer reported that Corey Bowman, the half-brother of Vice President J.D. Vance and a registered Republican, has pulled petitions to run for mayor. And the Inquirer also noted a Republican hasn't run for mayor since 2009, I believe. Do you expect a competitive campaign ahead?
I don't know. I don't know what I expect, but I it's hard to predict the future. But what I'm can tell you I know is that I'm taking this very seriously. You know, I take the future of the city very seriously. I take the work that we've done over the past 3 years to change the culture that we inherited, which was really toxic and unfortunately criminal. You know, I'm proud of the fact that you don't hear drama coming out of City Hall anymore, that we are keeping our heads down and working on the big issues that are facing the community, and really proud of the record, whether it's these generational problems that we've been attempting to solve, like the Brent Spence Bridge, or other projects that just haven't gotten off the ground for whatever reason, like redeveloping Tower Plaza, redeveloping Crewe Tower, redeveloping the Macy's building to create 300 units of workforce housing, the rezoning work that we've done to unlock housing, the fact that we have created a $1.6 billion infrastructure trust fund to preserve our infrastructure for several generations moving into the future. And then, of course, all of the things that we have to look forward to on the horizon, including Sundance. So I take any conversation about the future of the city very seriously, and really proud of the work that council, myself, and city manager have done over the last 3 years, and optimistic that we will earn an opportunity to do a second term and bring a lot of these huge projects to life. It's one thing to get these things going. It's another thing to actually finish them and finish them well. And that certainly will be my priority.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. Speaking of huge projects, Sue Ellen, I understand you have a comment about the arena.
Yes. I live quite close to downtown, and I find it lovely to go down and use the events in Washington Square and Fountain Square and use the walkway by the river. And increasingly, the downtown is completely choked with people from out of town, yes, spending a lot of money, but making it less attractive for those of us who live here and want to use the longstanding facility.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sue Ellen, but we're having a little bit of trouble with your audio. Is your point that the arena should not be downtown because it's already crowded, or that you would like to see it downtown?
It should not be downtown.
Okay. Thank you. Again, I'm sorry to cut you off. Your audio was just a little bit staticky there, and I wanted to make sure we got to your point. And Mayor, I don't know if you have anything you want to say about that
quickly. I really appreciate the call. And I would just say I respectfully disagree. I think one of the reasons we are going to be a base camp for one of the larger World Cup teams, one of the reason we're hosting the World Cup of club teams, you know, the reason Sundance is interested in us is our walkability and our density. And the fact that city leaders in the past decided to put both stadiums right in our urban core that are walkable to each other, that's walkable to the banks, that's walkable to Fountain Square, and ultimately to OTR if you're quite fit. I think that's a huge benefit, because when you go to, let's say, Kansas City, just grabbing a city out of the out of thin air.
I don't know why you'd have Kansas City on your mind this
you know,
week.
Their stadium is like 30 minutes outside of the urban core. And so you lack that, you miss that vibrancy. In fact, when you look at Taylor Swift, both to Kansas City and to Cincinnati, our economic benefit was greater than Kansas City's, because all of those Swifties were right there in our urban core and could walk to restaurants and bars, et cetera. So I think it's a benefit. There's no doubt that when a city is growing like ours, there are growing pains. It's my job to make sure that we're prioritizing our legacy communities and managing that change. And so far, I think we're on a good trajectory for that.
Thanks for your call, Sue Ellen. Again, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you a little bit earlier. I want to talk about Sundance. You've mentioned it a couple times. Do you really think?
Yes. Oh,
since
okay. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Let me ask you.
But
really
I really want to. I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no.
We are awesome. This city is amazing. Yes, we should be not just in the conversation for Sundance, but the front runner, right? I mean, look at Washington Park. There are 5 theaters on the park: Music Hall, Memorial Hall, the Transept, the Shakespeare Theater, SCPA. You can walk to Ensemble. You can walk to the new Children's Theater that is absolutely world-class. You can walk to the Woodward. We have absolutely the best bid. I've never seen in my 3 years the arts community, the philanthropic community, the business community, the political community, you know, everybody has been working so effectively together. This is our coming out party. You know, we were in the international conversation for World Cup. Obviously, we went to the Super Bowl and got a lot of attention for that. We're reaching for Sundance. You know, part of my goal is not just to convince the world that we're world class, but to convince ourselves, like, we're amazing. Let's go.
Yeah, let me interrupt you, because we did get an email from Ruben with some Sundance questions.
Great.
He asks, there are 3 questions, so I'll rattle them off quickly because we're running out of time. Who at the Sundance Institute are the main decision makers for the city selection? What feedback have those decision makers given on gaps the city needs to close to win the bid for hosting? And how was Cincinnati's reception at the recent Sundance Festival with attendees that went to the festival, or that with attendees that want the festival to stay in Utah?
Well, first of all, let me address something I should have said at the top with respect to Sundance. Kristen Schlottman, the head of Cincy Film, our local film commission, has single-handedly put us in this position. I just mentioned all the various groups that are supporting her, but she is the tip of the spear. To the extent, and I'm optimistic that we get this, it will be because of her leadership. Can't say enough about just her creative dynamism, her collaboration, and her leadership. I'll take the last question first. You know, of course, local residents, some of them don't want Sundance to leave. You know, obviously, you can imagine why. But a lot of them aren't wild about Sundance. Obviously, it's very disruptive to their community, and it's in peak ski season. I'm not a skier; I'm too tall for that. But apparently, that's a problem. You know, the board will make the decision. I think that was the first question, and we don't yet know exactly when that will happen. But it will be before the summer. We're hoping, expecting. And then as far as, you know, what does Cincinnati lack that we've heard back from Sundance? Nothing. Our bid is, I mean, there's a reason why we're a finalist. We are a really strong competitor here. I think the biggest obstacle for us is just, frankly, people on in the coasts either having no opinion of Cincinnati or believing that it's some kind of a flyover community. And so to address that, we've really been very aggressive in inviting board members out to Cincinnati, hosting them. We had a delegation during Blink. They were blown away. Apparently, it's very hard to close down streets in Park City. And that is not necessarily an issue here in Cincinnati. So it's just Cincinnati would be an incredible choice for them, because it provides them an opportunity not just to maintain the small kind of community of Sundance, but if they want, to grow it into something even more transformational. And so I'm excited about that opportunity.
I have one more question for you, Mayor, and I'm going to challenge you to answer it in a minute.
Okay, sorry.
So this is the challenge. You decided last month to enforce City Council's rules about public comments.
Yes.
I think it's 2 minutes per speaker, so only the first 15 people will be able to speak.
That's right.
For 30 minutes of comments. Talk about why, and if you think, you know, the public or council's missing out by not being able to hear more from
people.
That was
one of the things I was worried about. You know, we have very passionate folks speaking to us on all hosts of issues. A lot of the issues, though, are things that are outside of our control, like the issues in Gaza and the Middle East. And so much of the time of public comment, it feels like is dominated to issues that we don't necessarily have any control over, and it's hard to make space for folks who, you know, have issues that we do need to address. But the principal reason why I chose to not change the rules but just enforce the rules was because it had been increasingly getting racist. I've been told to go back to my own country several times. It had been increasingly violent. I started enforcing the rules the week after someone came in and made a physical threat against counsel and myself. And so I am, you know, as a lawyer, I understand the nuances of protecting freedom of speech, but we also have to have some kind of rules around order. And so that has been what I'm trying to accomplish through that rule enforcement.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Purval. Thank you so much for your time today, Mayor. We'll have to have you back soon.
Of course. Thank you.
Up next, Cincinnati and Hamilton County have hundreds of units of affordable housing in the works. We'll discuss how much more is needed. This is Cincinnati Edition.